About how we all feel a desire for something fulfilling in our life. And because we are in a fallen world, it's real easy to go down the wrong path, even when it seems innocent. And we need protection. We need God's protection. I do. Do you? We need God's protection against evil. And in our scripture today, he says he will do that. So welcome to the third chapter of 2 Thessalonians. I've entitled this study, Be Protected, because we are in a crazy, seducing world with lots of belief systems, attractions and distractions, and empty promises that seem like they'd be so great to meet our core needs, and yet they don't. And we always find out they don't. But instead, they pull us off track from being God's faithful people. So who's going to protect us? God, right? He is faithful, the scripture says. He is faithful to us. And our scripture today tells us that he will protect us, but we've got to make choices. Clear choices to do what he says. As he pulls us out of the dangerous distractions and into protection from the evil that would seduce us and the evil ones even. So our passage says God is faithful. So I want to read our scripture for this morning. I'm going to read the black and you're going to read the blue. Finally, brethren, that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have the confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. And may the Lord direct your hearts in love of God and into the patience of Christ. Wow. Love and patience. So basically the passage is saying this, that the gospel will spread quickly and be accepted, that we will be delivered from evil people, that God is faithful to establish us, and he will protect us from the evil one, because we will obey instructions, and God will direct us into love and patience. Now that's a lot for those few verses. And so this morning I want to camp on Paul's very first opening thought in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Thessalonians and harvesters, right? You know, so I thought, what I'd like to do instead of so much preaching is be able to have you imagine with me that we are on Paul's team. And can you go to slide 6? Yeah, the next one, actually. Yeah. We are on Paul's team for a moment in Thessalonica in the evening after the day's work of ministry, sharing the gospel and teaching God's word. And in my mind's eye, I could see Paul and his fellow workers, his disciples, around a campfire. And all the team is talking excitedly about what happened during the day, even despite the persecution, angry faces, people yelling. And they're excited because they've been able to share the gospel and see that certain people in Thessalonica responded. And as they go around the circle talking, everybody is whispering, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He accepted, well, praise the Lord. And then looking ahead to the following day, who they might be able to share the gospel with, maybe a tip from somebody, maybe a relative of someone who was just converted. from a new believer? Someone who might be interested in the gospel. And then the conversation turns to the overall strategy where Paul kind of stands up and says, this is what we're trying to accomplish, because they think Paul's pretty good at it. Okay? And they would talk about whether the people of the area could survive on their own, and that who would be leaders of the church that they could establish it so they could move on. And then they would sing praises, because we see them all through the book Acts, singing and singing and singing praises to God, and praising and asking him to help the Lord, that the word of the Lord will be spread rapidly, and then praying for boldness, that the next day they would have the boldness to share the gospel. And then, as they mentioned names, they would pray for the new converts and ask God to establish them and ground them and protect them as a group from the evil one. And then they would pray for all the churches they established. And they would pray that God would have mercy on them, and they would continue to thrive. And then they would ask for direction from God as to where the next location would be once they leave Thessalonica, and it seemed to be Berea, just north of Thessalonica, God willing, right? And then they would pray specifically for Thessalonica, looking over the city landscape in the dark, knowing the sin and the lost people, but being encouraged with those who have come to Christ. And then laying hands on Timothy and praying for him, because they knew that Paul was causing too much trouble and would be thrown out of the city, as he was almost every city. But good old quiet Timothy could sneak back in and teach and ground them. And so they pray for Timothy in this amazing gospel of grace of God's word. And finally, they would pray for the swiftness of the gospel, that it was spread like wildfire and be glorified and be honored by each city to those waiting to hear about God, that something would bring light to their souls. Now, we can't pray for Paul anymore. That's 2,000 years ago, because they're gone. But Paul handed off the baton to us, the body of Christ, to do the same. And since we are given the ministry of reconciliation to ask people to come to Christ, I want to ask you a wake-up question. There was a wake-up question for me, because it woke me up this week. Do we pray in the same way that Paul and his people pray as a church and as individuals? Now, right away, I am not trying to lay a guilt trip. Everybody get that? Because I'm in this with you. When I get up here, I'm talking for me and you, not just you. But is our passion for Christ and people gone down to embers? Paul said, praying that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. And I have to be honest, I never really thought in those terms. I never thought, oh, can we spread the word fast? Can the word just go like fire and people come to Christ and so on? I never thought about that. And praying for the swiftness of the gospel. And I don't know, I thought, well, maybe I feel like there's too many hindrances. Maybe deterrence by Satan and his host to stop us rather than going after the lost. And then maybe thinking, I wonder if hindrances and those type of things in my life, and I'm sharing my life, you can share that with me in your life. I'm wondering if those hindrances create an automatic victim attitude that we kind of lost before we started, because people aren't listening. And yet, every week we see people raise their hands for Christ, don't we? So the field is still white for harvest. We think it's gone pale. I look at Paul and I think, wait a minute. They had so many hindrances, so many things in their way, and look what happened. With all those hindrances in that group of people, their efforts changed the world. You know, I thought, okay, how do I have that swiftness of gospel? Have I ever experienced it? I thought, man, when I first got saved, I think people had to tether me down. I was so excited about coming to Christ, and I wanted everybody to know. And I remember entering my parents' church in Seattle 3 months after I had trusted Christ and asked Christ and gave my life totally to him. I entered the church, and the first thing I saw was everybody was older than me, you know, typical in a church, right? And so one guy walked in, and I said, have you been here before? And he says, oh, it's my first time. I said, you want to sit with me? And so we sat, we listened to the sermon, and we talked about committing our lives to Christ. And so we made a date on the next day to go to a Denny's down in Seattle and talk about it. So we went down to Denny's, and we started talking about commitment. And finally I said, look, brother, do you want to commit your life to Christ, and you and I can start pushing on that church and see if we can find others that need Christ? And he said, yeah. And I said, okay, are you willing to get in the aisle and pray with me? Get on your knees right down there in Denny's and pray. And he said, yeah. Well, we're stupid, right? Okay, so we got on our knees and we prayed out loud. We didn't pray quietly. We were praying out loud, and everybody in Denny's was looking at us thinking, those guys are freaks. And so he committed his life to Christ, and I found another guy, and he committed his life to Christ, and we began to work. And in 9 months, we had 60 people our age going to the church on Wednesday night, because that was where we gathered together, and half of those got saved in that 9 months ministry. Now, I think that's swift gospel, don't you? It never occurred to us not to be swift. And so, my cousin, David, when I first came to Seattle, he was a drug addict, and I mean, I don't know if he's a drug addict, but he took a lot of drugs. He just was nowhere. And so, after that first day in church, I went over to his house the next Sunday morning before church, and I said, David, will you go to church with me? And he said, yeah, I got nothing else to do. So he came with me, and I said, did you enjoy it? And he said, yeah. 4 months went by, and he told me, okay, I've accepted Christ, and I've given my life to Christ, which he did all of his life. And I said, what took you so long? And he said, well, Steve, that's a pretty big decision. And I said, yeah. And he said, so it took me 4 months. Okay, I'm a slow thinker. And gave his life to Christ, and he lived that life with his family in Christ till the day he died in his 40s. He got cancer and passed away. And I look at that and I think, what an amazing time in my life. Now, how much did I know about the gospel then? 3 months old in the Lord to 1 year? Oh boy, not much. And I look at it today, and I wonder if we've lost sight of the swiftness of the gospel. We probably haven't lost sight of the gospel, but we feel like nobody wants to trust Christ, or that we'll go and talk to them, and it may take a long time, 6 months, a year, 2 months of study and stuff before they come to Christ. That's hogwash. And I realize that's hogwash in me. Because Paul prays that the Lord may run swiftly, meaning quickly, without hindrance. It's his gospel, not ours. He wants it spread, and he wants it spread as fast as we can. And don't you think that he gets behind that because that's what he wants to happen. And it's the same message that transformed me and transformed you. And the second, the prayer request calls to mind, the prayer request calls to mind that Satan and his host is going to try to hinder us. You hear me this morning? They're going to try to stop them. When I first became Christian, I didn't realize it. I just realized there's a lot of things in the way and we had to swim around them, so to speak. Now I look at it and I realize, okay, Satan was trying to stop because things were happening. So in 1 Thessalonians 2:18, Paul says this, "Therefore we want to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us." And so they couldn't get into Thessalonica for a while because Satan was really stopping. And guess what? So many Thessalonians came to Christ that there was a church established. And even out of that, an archbishop became head over all the Christians of that city. I don't know, maybe we fight the idea of what's the use. You know, our fear kind of captures us, doesn't it, when you want to share Christ? First of all, most of the people say, well, I'm not an evangelist, and somehow that answers it. And Paul tells Timothy, who's meeker and mild than most all of you, do the work of an evangelist. And so our fear comes in. We think, oh, wait a minute, I don't have all the answers. Well, you don't have to have all the answers. You give them a witness of how your life changed. I don't know enough of the Bible. Okay, well, when do you ever? I get all choked up and stumble over my words. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work, not you. I feel highly embarrassed when I share the gospel. I get it. I'm with you. The biggest one I hear is, what if I goof them up with my explanations? Right? They're hampered for the rest of their life because of what you said. Well, you have too high of a regard of your words. Right? The Holy Spirit's going to let it stick and let the rest go by the wayside. You are not going to screw somebody up by sharing the faith. All because it's going against the heavenly host that's soured and is now trying to destroy the gospel and all the people hearing it. And yet in this passage, God says that he will protect us, and we're going to hear that in the next couple sermons, because it's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about the Father who loves all people and wants to see him come to him. And he's given us that. It's about the message that can run swiftly and not slowly. But we have to have God working on our side. And we have to make the way to share his gospel. And I just want to tell you this, that in March, we are going to start an outreach team. We've been talking about it, and I have a leader. We're going to need probably another leader with him, but we're going to have an outreach team, and anybody is welcome to that. We are going to invent every way that we could possibly get that gospel out passively or actively, and you can join that group. And we'll be announcing it by the time March comes. As the worship team comes to the stage, and as we prepare to celebrate the Lord's Supper with each other, let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for you, United Church. Let's pray that the gospel will run swiftly in the greater Brighton North area, that men's and women's hearts will be changed for the gospel. Father, we just ask you, as we imagine being around that campfire and listening to them sharing, Lord, we want a little piece of that. We want to be able to know that we're doing something fulfilling in life because we're doing exactly what you want. You say that you desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and we want a piece of that, Lord, but we're scared. And you need to help us with that fear, because we need to remember it's not about us, it's about you and them and their relationship with you. Lord, you said that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Lord, it ran swiftly. It ran swiftly with the Thessalonians. And Lord, we want it to run swiftly here. So will you help us with that in Jesus' name? Amen. There are two stations over here and two stations over there. If you would...